Now we're holding on Ein Aleph Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of a person's sales field, what is and isn't included in the sale, which we started in the previous Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Lo yasa bor v'lo yasa gas. Person sells a field, then even if he says, Kol masha v'soicham, including everything in the field, so we learned last time that still doesn't include actually everything. We said it doesn't include certain kinds of trees that have a chashivus of their own, certain other things that have a name and a chashivus of their own. So now, similarly, then he hasn't included automatically with the sale a burr, a water pit that's in the field, velayas a gas or a wine press in the field, velayas a shovach or a birdhouse that's in the field. All of those things, again, because each of those is considered something separate, they're considered almost like a miniature field within the field itself. And therefore, they're not included just because he said kol masha b'socha still wouldn't include these things. Ben charevin, ben yeshuvin, and all of that is true. Whether this burr or gas or whether this water pit or this or wine press or birdhouse, whether they're charevin, whether they're not currently in use, the water pit is empty, the gas is also not currently being used, the birdhouse is empty of birds, then yeshuvin, or whether right now they're settled and in use, either way they're not bottle to the field, they're considered something of their own, and therefore if he's selling them together with the field, then he would have to specify and say, I'm selling you this field as well as the bird in it, or as well as the gas in it, or whatever. Again, as we've said throughout the Perek, HaKol K'minhag HaMedina, if the local minhag is different, that once you mark off the borders, then automatically everything that's within those borders is sold, then that's different. We're talking about over here by default, where there's no other minhag. Mishnah continues, given that you have these things that are in the field that are not automatically being sold with it,
When you say minag makom, does that mean minag makom of Yidden or Goyim?
Either one, the Pashtus, whatever it is, that when people sell something, and it's generally known that a certain place, when you sell X, it includes Y, then we go according to that. Well, it doesn't matter who first developed that minhag. That's when this is how it's done. You know, to take an example, again, earlier in the parak, we talked about that when you sell a house, you haven't automatically sold the key. But nowadays, you know, that's unheard of. You sell a house, of course, the key goes along with it. So that kind of thing would override the rules in our Mishnah. So nowadays, when you sell a field, I mean, in any case, you know, you're going to have usually these kinds of details are going to be mentioned in the shtar anyway. We talked about it a couple of days ago, shufra de shtara, where you have where you write into the shtar more explicitly what is and isn't included, and that avoids arguments for the future. In general, nowadays, when a shtar for a real estate sale is drawn up, it's going to include these kinds of details, that I'm selling you this property where the boundaries are such and such, and on the property is such and such and such. So that's different, of course. But here we're talking about where none of that was done, and there's no particular local minhag what is and isn't included, then we have the rules of our Mishnah. But yeah, it doesn't matter who it is that established that local minhag. It's whatever is generally done in this particular area when it comes to these kinds of sales. Now, given that you sold a field, and now you have a burr or what have you in the middle of a field that hasn't been sold, that you still retain ownership of, you need a way of getting to it. Well, like we had before in the Perek, with Sarach Likach Loderach Divei Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva says that you have to buy a right-of-way to there, because Rav Akiva holds, as we learned earlier in the Perek, Mercha Ba'ayin Yachim Mercha. When he's selling generously, and therefore he doesn't. So the bird itself he's reserving for himself because he doesn't need to specify it, because it's a little miniature field of its own. But a right-of-way and an easement to be able to get to it, that he hasn't automatically kept for himself, and therefore when later on he realizes, you know what, how am I going to get to my bird, then he's going to have to make arrangements with the new owner and buy a right-of-way from him if necessary. the Chum and the Chum say they doesn't need to, as we learned before, because they hold Moshe Ba'ayin Ra Moshe, and to begin with, when he sells, he wants to reserve for himself not only the borer itself, but also the right of way to it. So therefore, now he automatically, implicitly has that. He implicitly has that and doesn't need to buy one now. And the Mishnah continues, and again, like we learned before about a house, that the Rabbi Akiva would agree that, that when he explicitly says, aside from these, that then he doesn't need to buy himself a right of way, because with, even without saying that, these things wouldn't have been included. By saying chutz me'elu, he's not adding that these things he's reserving for himself, because those he'd be reserving for himself regardless. Rather, he's adding the point that he's reserving for himself a right of way to them, and therefore he doesn't need to buy one now. So Rabbi Akiva would agree that in that case he doesn't need to buy a right of way. And the other way around, Mochrim Acher, what about if he sells these things that are in the middle of the field to somebody else? So the other way around, where not that he kept the field, not that he sold the field and kept the burr, but the other way around, he sold the burr and is keeping the field for himself. The other way around, Rabbi Akiva says that the buyer does not have to buy himself, the buyer of the burr does not have to buy himself a right of way, because Moshe Ba'ayin Yotha Moshe, and therefore he implicitly included a right of way to get to the burr. And the Chum say he would need to, because Moshe Ba'ayin Ra Moshe, we learned about this all previous, earlier in the parak, that Rabbi Akiva always holds Moshe Ba'ayin Yotha Moshe, no matter what the respective positions of the buyer and the seller are. And the Chum hold Moshe Ba'ayin Ra Moshe. Then the Mishnah continues, Bamed Varam Amorim, when is all this talking about these distinctions throughout that we've talked about throughout the parak of what is and isn't included when you're selling a field? All of this is B'Moshe, exactly that. When you're selling a field, then it doesn't include the bor or the gas or any of the various things mentioned in the previous Mishnah. And everything that's been mentioned throughout the parak. You sell a house, this is included, this is not. You sell a city, this is included and this is not, etc. All of that is when you're selling. Because then we have, the whole Moshe Ba'ayin Yotha Moshe and Moshe Ba'ayin Ra Moshe. Avo Benosin Matana, but when he's giving something, when he's giving a house or a field or what have you as a gift, then implicitly he's giving all of it. So that would include even the kinds of things, for example, the bur, or the gas, or the chor of amurkov, and sadhana shikma of the previous Mishnah, etc. The idea being, the Rashbam says, because even if we say mocha ba'ayin yotha mocha, like Rav Akiva, but a nosin matana, when you're giving a gift, is even more ba'ayin yotha. So even things that aren't included in the field are still going to be, are even things that are not considered part of the field. For example, the bor and the gas, when it comes to giving them, the fact is they are permanent fixtures in the field, and therefore they would be included when it comes to a matana. However, the Rashbam goes on to say, if let's say, for example, you have things in the field that have nothing really to do with it, say, for example, there's a pile of money in the field, or there's grain that's already been harvested and is sitting in the field and doesn't need to be there anymore, then those things are not going to be included even in a matana, because the Mishnayos till now have not even need to mention those kinds of things, because it's poshut. If I sell you a field and there's money sitting there on the ground in the field, it's poshut, that's not included. So even when it comes to a nosin matana, it still wouldn't be included. So all it means when we say nosin ba'ayin yotha nosin, more than a mocher, means, in other words, that the kinds of permanent fixtures or even non-permanent things that we said that have some connection with the ground. For example, we said you had grain that was already harvested, but it still needs this ground, it still needs land in order to finish drying. So those kinds of things would be included in a matana, but not in a gift, but not a sale, but not things that have nothing at all to do with the ground. And the Mishnah continues, Ha'achim Shechoku. Similarly, when brothers divide up an estate that they received from their father, same thing, Zochu Basada, Zochu Bakula, whichever one of them acquires the field, automatically acquires all of it, including all of these fixtures, including the burr, and so on and so forth, that is in the field. And the idea being, in other words, that when they're dividing up, means they're saying, you know, look, you know, we're done with each other. Each of us is now going to take our own place, and we're each going to live our own life, and we're not, and therefore we can assume, for example, that when Reuven takes the field, he doesn't mean to take only the field and to leave Shimon the water pit that's in it or any of these other things, because we can assume more so than with a sale that they just want to they're just done, they're finished dividing up the estate, they want each of them wants their own life, and that's that. Both Rashbam and Tosfos point out that point. So therefore, so now when it comes to a right of way to one to another, when we learned earlier in the parak, for example, you have, let's say, Reuven gets a field that's further away from the road, and in order to get in and out of the field, he has to walk through Shimon's field. So there we have a discussion that we had earlier in the Masechta, where Rav had said, earlier in the parak, where Rav had said that, you know what, he could say, I want to continue using the field the way that our father did. Our father had a right of way through the other field because he owned both of them. Therefore, I want to continue having that right of way. And we discussed that point earlier in the parak, whether that's a valid argument, or whether, like Shmuel says, that no, he could say that, that no, you don't have that right of way automatically unless you buy it. But as far as any fixtures that are in the field, the burr, etc., we assume, as our Mishnah is saying, that neither of them means to reserve for himself something in the other one's field, and therefore when they decide among themselves, you, Reuven, are going to get this field, then automatically the burr goes with it. Again, unlike with a sale. Similarly, the Mishnah continues, Hamachzik v'nichse ager. Similarly, when a person makes a chazaka on the property of a ger, where a ger passed away without heirs, where ger passed away without any yoshim, he didn't have any children since he became a ger, and his original goyish family is not considered related to him lahalacha. So as it discussed extensively in the previous parak, then his nechosim are now free for the taking for any Yisrael. So now a person goes and makes a chazaka on those nechosim to acquire them. So the same thing, Hechsek Pasada, Hechsek Pakula, if he makes a chazaka on the field, then it means that his chazaka is effective for everything that's in that field, including the Chor of Amurkav, including the burr, and so on and so forth. Rashbam points out, now in the previous parak, it talked about, for example, that let's say the ger owned two fields, one adjacent to the other, and you made a chazaka on one of those fields, you haven't automatically, with that, acquired the other one. Another Yisrael instead could come and make chazaka on the other one, and he would acquire it, but over here is different. The fact is, there the difference is, there is an actual boundary between them that marks off one field from another. Here, there's no boundary between one and the other, between the rest of the field and the chordu or the burr or what have you. So therefore, it's the equivalent of two fields that don't have a boundary between them, where the din would be also with nichse ager, that if you acquire one with chazaka, then you acquire the other, and therefore it would be the same thing here. You acquire the field, then automatically you acquire the burr or what have you that's with the field. The Mishnah continues, Hamakdish is Asada. Similarly, when a person is Makdish his field, donates his field to Hekdish, same thing, Hekdish is Kula. Again, a Makdish does Ba'ayin Yafa, and therefore we can assume that he meant to include the Burr or the Choru Hamurkav, etc., that's in the field. So in short, the Mishnah is telling us there are a whole bunch of cases, even though we're saying when it comes to sales, there's a lot of restrictions and a lot of details about what is and isn't included in a sale of a house or a city or a field or what have you, but all of those rules only apply to sales. They don't apply to all these other kinds of real estate transactions that we're talking about, because with those, we say either that he's going by any offer or that they just want to be done with each other and each one live his own life. Rav Shimon says, on the contrary, a makdish as a soda, loy hikdish elas or of a mukav, that's sad and a shikma. Reb Shimon says, when a person is makdish a field, it means besides the field itself. Not really the opposite. Reb Shimon is saying, you Tanakama are saying that when he's makdish a field, he's including all the permanent fixtures in the field, including things like the Chorav HaMurkav and Sadan HaShikva, and including from the previous Mishnah, and including the Bur and Gas and so forth of our Mishnah. Reb Shimon says no. A makdish is basically like a cellar, and therefore, so fine, he will include the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma, but for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss, but not any of the others. So if there's a Chorav HaMurkav in the field, then yes, that will be included with his hekdish, where it wouldn't have been included with a sale, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss. But if there's a burr in the field, Reb Shimon says that no, that's not included in his gift to hekdish at all. So we'll see in the Gemara why Reb Shimon holds that. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Maishna Mechad or Maishna Matana. So what is the difference between a sale and a gift? Sure, Noisin Ba'ayin Yofa Noisin, but how can you include things that are not at all included in the definition of the field, such as the burr or the gas, etc.? So the Gemara says, Pirush Yehuda ben Nekusa, Lifnei Rebbe, Yehuda ben Nekusa, sitting as a Talmud in front of Rebbe, explained the reason is, Zeh Pirush Vezeh Lo Pirush, because one of them specified the details and the other one did not. So on the face of it, it sounds like it means, in other words, in the case of a gift, he specified that these things are included, and in the case of a sale, he didn't. Well, we want to ask what he means. Zelai Pirush, Zelai Pirush. The whole question we're talking about is where he didn't specify. Obviously, if he specified and said, I'm including or not including the burr, etc., then we would go according to what he says. So what do you mean one of them specified and the other one didn't? Ella, Zeh Hoya Loy Lefarish, Zelai Hoya Loy Lefarish. Rather, what Yehuda ben Nekusa means is, in the one case, he was supposed to specify, and the other one he was not. So the Rashbam explains like this. When a person is given that noisin ba'ayin yofen noisin, and we said before, as far as a sale, we have the machloikas, Reb Akiva, and the Chachamim, whether he goes ba'ayin yofa or ba'ayin ra, but with a gift, he definitely goes ba'ayin yofa. If he actually meant to leave out the burr, etc., then he should have specified it. So therefore, if he didn't specify, then he's the one who loses out, and he has to give those away as well. As opposed to when he's a moicher, you can say that, look, why is he selling in the first place? Because he's short of cash, and he needs to raise money. So we would still say that the lekeach has the lower hand. You lekeach want to have that burr, etc. You're going to need to prove that I meant to include them, and if you can't prove that, then no, and he doesn't need to specify. According to the Rashbam's understanding, the Hoya Lo Lefarish and Loy Hoya Lo Lefarish is referring to the seller. Other Mephoshim also add the point, in other words, that what would happen is that, after all, because as the Rashbam is saying, he really wants the sale to go through, if he starts saying, you should know the sale doesn't include such and such, then the potential buyer is likely to say, well, you know what, then I can't be bothered. So we could say that therefore this is how the Ritzvah explains. So when he's selling, he may not want to say too much in terms of what's included and what's not, because he doesn't want the sale to fall through. So he's going to rely on the fact that it's a known thing. You sell a field, you don't sell a burr, as opposed to a gift. You don't have any of that consideration, and therefore he should have spoken up. If he wants to keep the burr, then he should speak up. Then the Rashbam brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, who explains that actually we're talking about it's the buyer or the recipient who should say, because when he's buying, then Hoya Lo Lefarish, look, he's paying good money for this field, then he has it's legitimate for him to say, well, listen, if I'm buying this field, what exactly are the terms? What exactly are you including with the sale and what are you not? So therefore, if he didn't, then we could say that implicitly he understands that he's not getting that burr, as opposed to a matana. What's he going to say? You know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say. You know, you're giving me a field, and I'm going to demand, well, specify for me exactly what's included and what's not. So Rabbi Hanan says, no, what you hold up in the kusa means is that, no, it's not reasonable. You'd be embarrassed to ask what exactly is included, and therefore it should be up to the giver to specify what he's including and what he's not, and therefore if he doesn't specify, then it means that implicitly he's including these things. So that would be the difference. Okay. The Gemara continues. Here's an example of another case involving a gift where a certain detail was not specified, and we have to figure out, or it was specified, but not correctly, and we have to figure out then what is included. There was a case where a person said to some people, and we're talking about, ordinarily just saying I'm going to give a matana to Pliny doesn't have any effect, but as we're going to learn in great detail later in our Masechta, you have Mitzava Machmas Misa, where he's about to die, whether a natural death or not, as the case may be. In Gittin, it talks about also, for example, a person who's about to be taken out to be executed or whatever. Anyway, when he gives instructions then what to do with his possessions, then that's Mitzava Machmas Misa. He's giving those instructions because he knows he doesn't have much time left. And therefore, such verbal instructions are valid, and you have to follow them. So now this guy was Mitzava Machmas Misa. He was giving instructions before he passed away, and he says, "Hovoloi l'panya besa d'machzik mea gufi. Give Pliny a house that belongs to me that's big enough to hold 100 barrels." Ishtakach dav machzik mea v'esrim. When they came to look at the property and give it to the recipient that he had said, they found that the house actually is larger than he said, and it actually has room enough for 120 barrels. So if he had two houses, one that holds 100 and one that holds 120, then fine, we would say we give the recipient the one that holds 100. Here, there was no other house that he owns that holds 100 barrels. So the question is, did he mean this one? Do we give it to him or not? Amazutra says, no, you don't give it to him. Mea omale, mea vestrin leomale. He said to give him a house that holds 100, not 120. So therefore, nothing to talk about. That's not what he meant. And therefore, what it would mean is, fine, you give him part of that house. What you would do is, in other words, you'd say, 5/6 of that house, 83% of the house, goes to the recipient. The area, the floor space that would hold 100 barrels, the rest of the 20, no, doesn't go to him, and it goes as part of the estate, and it gets taken over by his regular yoshim, says Mazurka. Omar. So Rav Ashi, Mayor Omale, he said 100. He didn't say 120. So therefore, no, he doesn't get the whole house, only the amount, only as much of the house as will fit 100 barrels.
How can Rav Zutcha say something like that does not go according to Halacha, that everything has to be explicit, and he says it doesn't.
No, just the opposite. He said it was explicit as possible. He said 100. He said 100 barrels. So in other words, let's put it in terms of square footage to make it easier to understand than barrels. If he says I'm giving a 1,000 square foot house to Pliny, and it turns out that this house is 1,200 square feet, so Mazutra says fine. What it means is 1,000 square feet goes to this Makabel, and the rest, the other 200 square feet, it does not go to him because the one who gave the Matana, the Shivmara, did not say 1,200, he said 1,000, so therefore it means that he's giving him only 1,000 square feet within that property.
But that's not explicit, that's implicit. He didn't say which house he was giving. If there
Again,
are two houses...
One second. He has no other house. There is no house among in his estate that is 1,000.
It doesn't matter.
So that's
it. Doesn't matter. It's not consistent with what we've been saying previously, that everything has to be explicit.
No,
even if
stop.
He doesn't
one
have
second.
Another house.
One second. here we're as explicit as we could have possibly been. He said
no.
He said 1,000 square feet. The twist is over here, there is no house that's 1,000 square feet. Obviously, we have to give something. The question is, are we giving the entire house and saying he said 1,000 and therefore doesn't matter, we're going to give him the whatever house we can find, or does it mean that we're giving him only 1,000 square feet within the house that is available? Mazutra says the second possibility. He said 1,000, therefore 1,000. That's it. 100 barrels, whatever. Then that's it.
Yeah, but that's not consistent with our previous...
Okay, yeah, we're going to go on over here, but I'm not seeing what's not consistent. On the contrary, he's specifying. If he had just said, I'm giving a house, of course, Mazutra would say, you give him a house, and that's that. But here he's saying the square footage of the house. It turns out that square footage is smaller than the actual house. So Mazutra is saying, very well, you give him that square footage. You do go according to what he explicitly said. You can't go beyond that.
No, he doesn't say which house.
There is no other house that Ashvan specifies. I've already said it a few times. The loy hoyolai bais acha shalmeya. He doesn't have another house that is 100. If he had a house of the square footage that holds 100 barrels, obviously we would give it to the recipient, and that would be that. There would be no discussion. We're talking about other one.
But we did not, in the previous cases, we did not bring this detail that there is no other. We did not say that previously. Now we're starting with...
We didn't need to. When I say I'm selling you this field... Obviously, I'm selling you this field and not any other one. The question is whether I'm including the burr or what have you that is in this field. Here, we're talking about a different case where which house, and we're saying similarly, if I gift you a field, etc. We're talking about what isn't included. Here, we're talking about where he's gifting him a house. He didn't specify which one. The only thing he specified is the area of the house. And now it turns out that the only house that's available that for the purpose is larger than what he said. So is he giving him the whole house, or is he only giving him a percentage of it? And Mazutra is saying he's giving him only a percentage because we have to go according to what he explicitly said. He said 100 barrels, therefore 100 barrels, no more.
But he just has one house.
He has, let's say, five houses, but one of them is 120, and the other one is 150, and the other one is 170, etc. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The point is, so therefore, that's the point. In other words, the smallest house that he has that we can find that is available to be given is 120. Obviously, therefore, we have to say he meant a house. We have to respect what he says. What a shchivmana says is that you have to fulfill it. Divrei shchivmana k'suvim b'chem esurin, as we're going to talk later in the Masechta, but is he giving him the whole house or only 100 barrels size within that house? Mazutra is saying he's giving him only 100 within that size. But
that's more wrong.
Okay. Omalei Rav Ashi, so loy omalei. Rav Ashi omar, Rav Ashi says no. Mi loy tnan b'med v'amamun b'moicher. Didn't we say in our mission that there's a difference with a sale, that with a seller, he's doing ba'ayin raw, and therefore, even if we say ba'ayin yofa, there's still a limit to what he's including. He's not including certain things, that certain fixtures in the field. When it comes to a gift, we said when he's giving, then he's giving the whole thing. Alma, which means that we learn from that, mandu yohiv, matana, ba'ayin yofa yohiv, that when a person is giving a gift, he's giving it even more generously than a sale, and therefore, that again, it means that he's including even a burr or other fixtures in the field that wouldn't have been included with a sale because they're considered a separate entity. But when it comes to a matana, they are included. The same thing over here. Mandi yohib matana b'ayin yofa yohib. The same way. When he's giving a gift, we assume that he's giving b'ayin yofa, and he means the whole house. So why would he have mentioned the square footage? Why would he have mentioned 100 barrels? First of all, it could be... First of all, it could be he actually thought, he didn't know, he didn't realize the actual square footage of it. He thought that it was only 100. And it could also be, Shvam says, that he means to highlight, look what a generous gift I'm giving you, a house that will hold 100 barrels. If he had known it holds 120, he would have said that to make it look even greater gift. But, in other words, not like Mazutra says that by saying 100, he wants to limit how much of the house he's giving. No, because he's noisim matana, therefore he's giving as generously as possible, and he does mean the whole house. And as he mentioned the figure, he didn't know the correct figure, and he was trying to highlight what a big gift it is, but the whole thing is imperfect. The halacha is like Rabashi, and that, so therefore that's what we would say, that in fact he is giving the whole house. The post can discuss, do we say there's a limit to that? What if the house that's available will hold 1,000 barrels as compared to 100? Are we going to go to that extent and say, to say that it still includes the whole house? Or would we say that maybe here the proportions the Gemara is giving is 5 to 6, maybe it's only if it's those proportions or thereabouts, but not like 10 times the size or something. In any case, the Ritva also adds that we also can't necessarily deduce from this for other areas in halacha, that when a person says, I'm giving X, then instead that it should also include Y, which includes something much larger, because noisin b'ayin yafa noisin, not necessarily can we generalize from this to other cases.
What about Shuvah?
So we're saying by Shchivah and by Matana, but not necessarily. So there are posts can discuss other similar cases that where somebody says to do something. So the Or Sameach gives an interesting example where a person was being sent off to Siberia or something, and he wanted a get to be arranged for his wife before he goes, so that if he passes away there, she's not left in Aguna. So he says, I want you to give a get to my wife, Ploinis Bas Ploin. And it turns out he got her father's name wrong in his verbal instructions. So the question is, what do you mean? He's saying, give a get to my wife, Rochel Bas Reuven. Turns out she's Rochel Bas Shimon. Maybe he's joking. Maybe he meant that he secretly has another wife, Rochel Bas Reuven, or whatever. What do we do with that? And then the Or Sameach deals with that question and answers it based on our Gemara over here that no, we're not saying over here that we think that he's joking and he really meant some secret house he's a Shimon, I have a similar idea. We don't say that maybe he meant some other house that we don't even know until now that he owned that actually holds only 100 barrels. So no, we would say that it means that he, like we're saying over here, he didn't know the square footage of the house. At the same way over here, he forgot his Shver's name, but it would still work. Or Sameach says you really have to be ma'ayin in this more. We do have to investigate this further, but the likelihood is that we could write the get in that case, and we're not worried.
So he's over age 40.
Defense is over age 40. I don't know if that means. Oh, you mean because he's forgetful? All right, thanks. Okay. So this noisin ba'ayin yofa noisin has, so we're saying, not only does it mean that if he's giving a field or a house or whatever, he's including fixtures in the property that otherwise wouldn't have been included in the sale, but it also means, like we're saying over here, where he specified a certain area, a certain size of it, and it turns out to be larger, that it means, like Rav Ashi is saying, that it includes all of it, because when he mentioned the size, just means he didn't know the exact size, and it means a limit to that. But again, as the Ritva says, maybe that would only apply where it's a difference of 1/6, like over here, not necessarily where it's a larger difference.
I always remember always hearing the expression of Kishon Noisin behind the Noisin by Rabbi Kavan. He was saying Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva is the bottom.
Here we were not even talking about Rabbi Kiva, but as far as Moicher, we talked about Rabbi Kiva says Noisin, says Moicher by any of the Noisin. Here we're talking about Noisin, which is a whole other matter. We're saying Noisin, everybody agrees by any of
the
Noisin.
I don't know, what was the expression?
Okay. Moving along, the Mishnah had said, Hamakdish is a Sada Hikdish Rechula. We said you have a case where a person was Makdish a field, and we had the Machlokas of the Tanakama and Reb Shimon. What happens in that case? The Tanakama says it includes all the permanent fixtures in the field, including a burr or gas or whatever, and also including a Chorav Amurkav or Sadhana Shikma that we learned in the previous Mishnah. And Rav Shimon says, no, the Chorav Amurkav and the Sadhana Shikma, the trees that have a Hashivus of their own and are not normally included in a sale, those would be included in the Hekdesh, but not the Bur itself. Says Rav Shimon. So we have to figure out why. And we're gonna mention in this connection a din and then discuss how it fits with our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Omer, I forgot the Omer Abonon, Akona Shnei Lonis Vesech Shochavere, Areza Lekona Karka. Even though the Chachamim said that, and we're going to learn it later on in the next Perek, that when a person buys two trees, meaning up to two trees, it means one or two trees within somebody else's field. Then he hasn't automatically acquired any land between them or beyond them. Meaning, we're going to learn in the next paragraph that when a person buys three trees in somebody or more in somebody else's field, then automatically, not only he owns the trees now, but he also owns a certain plot of land between them and around them. The area between one tree and the next, and also the area surrounding each tree, enough that a person would stand there and walk around there and hold a basket to gather the fruit from the tree. But that's only when he buys three trees. And that means also the implication that he owns that land. Not only it means that he owns that land for whatever purpose, it also means that implicitly it also included is if any of those trees dies, he's entitled to plant a new tree in its place because he owns the land under and around the tree. So that's when he buys three trees. When he buys two trees, then we learn in the next parak that no, he doesn't acquire the land with them, meaning in other words, so now it is true again, this would be subject to the machlokas of Akiva and the Chachamim of our Mishnah, whether Moshe ba'ayin ra or Moshe ba'ayin yofa Moshe. So the Rashbam says the Chachamim, therefore, again, would say Moshe ba'ayin ra Moshe, would say when you sold one or two trees, the person who bought them does not own the land underneath them, so he owns the trees themselves. He's entitled to the produce of those trees, etc. But if one of those trees dies, he doesn't have the right unilaterally to go and plant a new one. Only if you bought three or more. Rabbi Akiva would say that he actually owns the land insofar as he could plant new ones. So now when he bought only one or two trees, and according to the Chachamim, he doesn't own any land. So Afagab the Omer Abonim, so even though the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva are saying Hakoina Shnei Lonis Pesach Shachaveron, when a person buys one or two trees within somebody else's field, Hareza Lekona Karka, then he hasn't acquired along with them any land. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Huna, Mocha Karka V'Shir Shnei Lonis Lefanav, but the other way around, if he were to sell the rest of the field and reserve for himself two trees, Yesh Lekarka, then he would own the land underneath them, and he would therefore be able to plant new ones if those ones die.
Because he's the seller.
Because even according to Rabbi Akiva, that Moshe ba'ayin yofa Moshe, so why would we say that he's reserving for himself any land? On the face of it, he's only reserving the trees, and he would give away all the land. No, hanimili, so Rav Huna says, hanimili gab a bur v'dus. That would only apply to a bur or dus, the various kinds of water pits that can be on the land. The difference is, those things don't take any nourishment, don't take any nutrition out of the ground. So the lekeach is not losing out by them. After all, you don't need any land around the burr. According to the Chachamim, if we said Moshe ba'ayin ra Moshe, then you're not even Moshe ba'ayin yofa Moshe. According to Rabbi Akiva, that you implicitly have a right of way, so you don't even need to. Or the other way around, according to Rabbi Akiva, you do need to buy right of way. According to the Chachamim, not because Moshe ba'ayin ra Moshe. So you don't need any of that. Because after all, the burr is not doing anything to weaken and ruin the ground. But when it comes to trees, where they do take nutrients out of the ground, when the seller is reserving for himself the trees, it must mean that he is also reserving the ground that goes together with those trees, if he didn't mean to leave any land for himself, lemale, then the other guy would be able to tell him, akori lancho shkir bazil, uproot your trees and grow. So that was Rav Huna's din, so we're going to analyze that in light of our Mishnah, but there's a few things to talk about first within what Rav Huna is saying. First of all, what's
the water pit is, it's gonna, it's, a, it's, it helps to continue growing.
That may be, but the bottom line, whether it does or not, I mean, it means that you can use it for irrigation. It's not necessarily just the water sitting there is not necessarily helping the field. But the point is, it's not doing anything to damage the field. So therefore, in other words, so we would say, if I sell you a, if I sell you a water pit in my field, then if I sell the other way around, if I sell you a field and I keep the water pit for myself, then you're not going to say at some point, you know what, I don't want this water pit anymore, take it away, it's ruining my field. Well, it's ruining your field, it's sitting there, it's not doing anything for you. On the other hand, trees, the more they continue growing, the more they take nutrients out of the ground. So at some point, you, the owner of the field, might conceivably say, you know what, I don't want your trees over here. They're damaging the field. So at least when they dry up, then he would say, fine, you know, look, as long as they're still alive, then okay, I have no choice. But once they're dead, why should I allow you to plant a new tree, which from now on, for years to come, is going to be taking nutrients out of my soil? I don't want it. Now. A couple of things in that. First of all, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim wonder, what does Rav Huna mean when he says, even though? Where's the even though? What is Rav Huna saying? Even though we're saying that when you sell two trees, you haven't sold karka, but the other way around, if he's keeping two trees for himself, then yesh like karka, then he does have karka. It's exactly the same logic behind both parts, because mocha b'ayin ra'a mocha, and therefore when he sells trees, two trees, he's not automatically including karka with it. The same logic of mocha b'ayin ra'a mocha tells us that when he's selling the rest of the field and reserving two trees for himself, that he wants to sell b'ayin ra'a and keep for himself whatever he can, namely the land on which the trees stand. So what's the apple peak? So Tosfos deals with the question in particular in the light of earlier in the Masechta, that Ashban explains that this machlokas of mocha b'ayin yofa mocha, or mocha b'ayin ra mocha, this machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, also affects this one here that Ashban mentions similarly, that it also affects that machlokas of Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim's machlokas bears on that case as well. When he's selling trees, whether land is included or not, but Ashban learns that that would also be subject to the machlokas of Akiva and the Chacham. Even though later on, when the Mishnah later on mentions this point, when he buys two trees, whether he buys karka or not, the Mishnah and the Gemara there don't specify anything about Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim, that Ashban earlier in the Masechta and here on Daf Ayin Aleph discusses and says that would be subject to the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, mocha b'ayin ra or mocha b'ayin yofa mocha. So therefore, so according to that way of looking at it, what is this afalpi? So Tosfos explains what it means is, even though we're saying when you're selling two trees, karka doesn't go along with it, but three it does. The reason is because nothing to do with ayin yofa. Because, in other words, the definition of when does land go with trees, only when there's three of them. So nothing to do with ayin yof. Nevertheless, when it comes to selling the rest of the field and keeping two trees, then karka does go along with it. So that would be the afal pi. Even though when it comes to the sale, we would say that it's not a matter of ayin yofa or ayin ra. It's just a matter of definition. Does a sale of trees include karka? But here we're saying when he's selling the rest of the field, then the sale of the rest of the field and the reserving of the trees does include karka. That's according to Tosfos, that Ramban mentions a different point, and he says because you would say that. You would say, in other words, that is the land bottle to two trees or not? So we're saying that when you're leaving for yourself, when you're reserving for yourself two trees, then the land is bottle relative to them. So we would say, in other words, if the Chachamim said so that Ramban learns like this, learns Rav Huna's statement like this, if we were to say that when he sells, that when he sells two trees, he is selling land with them, then we would say not because of Ayin Yafa, but because land is bottled to two trees. Two trees is enough, is significant enough already that land, the land between them is bottled for them. But the fact is we don't say that. So then we, if we had said that, then sure, we'd say the other way around. When he's keeping for himself two trees, then also land is bottled for them. Now that we're saying, even though, no, when it comes to selling two trees, the land is not bottled to them, but when it comes to reserving two trees, the land is bottled to them, and he's entitled to keep that land to the extent where now he's able to replant his tree then. So that's one detail within what Ravona says. Another point is, when the Gemara is saying that if he hadn't kept himself any land, then the buyer of the rest of the land could say, take your trees and grow. So, so that, that Ashbam learns that it means that then he would have the ability to tell that to him immediately. He could say, if he didn't own any land together with two trees that he had kept, there would be nothing preventing the buyer of the rest of the field from saying, take your trees right now and go because you don't own any land over here because you sold me the field. And since we can't say that, because then what's the point of reserving the trees for himself? Therefore, necessarily, says Rav Huna, that forces us to say that he has some land with. I got that backwards. The Rashbam says that it means that he wouldn't say that now. He would be talking about when eventually the tree dies. As long as the tree is alive, sure, the buyer of the field has no claim against him. But we would say, conceivably, that when the tree dies, he would be able to tell him, take your tree and grow, and go, and leave the land to me, and therefore we're saying that, no, he's keeping himself land to the extent where now he's able to plant another tree. And then Tosfos discusses that in a little bit of detail, and asks several questions on the Rashbam on that, and says that no, what the Gemara means is that the owner of the field, the new owner of the field, would have every right if the original owner didn't retain for himself the land under the trees, then the new owner would be able to tell him right now, even while the trees are still alive, then no, I don't want them in my field anymore. They're taking nutrients out of my soil. And fine, you reserve yourself the trees, but not to the extent of taking nutrients out of my soil, and therefore take your trees right now and chop them down and go, and I don't want them in my field.
And they wouldn't want to reserve that.
Well, that's the point. In other words, that's what makes Rav Huna say that reservation of those two trees means automatically land goes with them, and therefore now the owner of the field cannot say such a thing because the owner of the original owner of the field, who now still owns those two trees, will say, what are you talking about? I don't just own the trees. I own the footprint of those trees as well. And therefore, it's mine to do whatever I want. So that's Rav Huna's point. So now let's analyze that in light of our Mishnah. Tnan, now we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer HaMakdash as HaSada Lo Hikdish Ela Chorav HaMurkav V'Sadan HaShikma. We said that Rav Shimon distinguishes among the fixtures in the field between the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma versus anything else, where again Rav Shimon is saying that when a person has Makdash a field, if there's a Chorav HaMurkav or Sadan HaShikma in it, which those wouldn't have been included had he sold the field, but they are included in Hekdish of the field. However, Rav Shimon is also saying that it wouldn't, that either way, neither a sale nor Hekdish would include a burr or gas or anything like that. Now what's the difference? The Taniya law, we learn in a Braisa about that. Amar Rav Shimon Matam. So Rav Shimon says, and by the way, the Rashbam adds, other trees anyway are going to be included, because as we said, when you sell a field, all the other trees that are in it are included, as we learned from the Pasuk involving Avraham and Ephron. So therefore, other trees, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, they would be included in Hekdesh. But we're saying these two trees, the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma, which are not included in a sale, Rav Shimon says they are included in Hekdesh, but no more than that, not a bur or whatever. So what's the difference? Amar Rav Shimon Matam, why would we say that the Chorav and Sadan have a special status? Because they get their nutrients from a field of Hekdesh. Meaning, in other words, so look, when he's Makdish B'ayin Yafa, so therefore he's including also the land on which the Chorav or the Sadan are growing. So if he were to if he were to keep for the trees for himself, it would come out that these trees that he owns are now benefiting from a field of Hekdesh. And that would be a problem because he gave it away to Hekdesh and he has no right to be taking anything out of it.
I can't say that the earth under the tree is his.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Based on what Rav Huna is saying, we should say that. That's exactly the Gemara's question. If Rav Shimon is telling us that there's no way for you to reserve the Chorav Amurka or Sadan HaShikma for yourself when you're donating the field to Hekdesh, because then it comes out that your tree is getting its nourishment from land of Hekdesh, and you can't do that because Hekdesh is not yours to use with as a, to use as you wish. In fact, the very fact of growing in Hekdesh land, that would make them themselves considered Hekdesh. So that's why Rav Shimon distinguishes between trees and other kinds of things, like a burr or whatever, where there's no nourishment that they're taking from the ground. They're just sitting there in the middle of the field. So now, the Sakadaitach Shiyure Shire, if you're going to tell me, Rav Huna, that when a person sells the land to somebody else and keeps the trees for himself, he's also keeping the land on which the trees stand, and Rav Shimon, in that case, Rav Shimon would have to hold the same thing as far as Hekdesh. Then what do you mean? Kikoyanki midinafshek kikoyanki. Then what do you mean? It's not getting nurtured from land of Hekdesh. It's getting nurtured from his own land. Because he owns the land under the trees. So how does that fit with what Rav Huna is saying? Now, Tosfos does bring up the point. The fact is, earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, there was a whole discussion about when you have a tree near the border of your field, close to somebody else's field, you have a discussion over there, how far does the tree get nourishment from the soil, such that you have issues over there. For example, how would the other guy have a right to chop out the roots if they're getting in the way of him plowing his field? To what extent can he say that, you know what, your tree is too close to my field and it's taking nutrients out of it, and then therefore damaging my crops or whatever? So we discussed over there that generally speaking, trees, we said the rule is that a tree is nurtured by the land for 16 amos on every side of it. The Gemara discussed over there, you draw a circle around the tree with 16 amos in every direction, and that's considered to be the area from which the tree gets its nourishment. So now over here, you're talking, even if he keeps land for himself, like Rav Huna is saying, maximum he's keeping is, in the case of three trees, he's only keeping meloy ha'od of a salad chutzaloy, just the area around the tree that would be large enough for a person with his gathering basket to be standing there. That's a lot less than 16 amos. So first of all, well, it would mean the entire footprint of the tree, meaning not just the footprint of the trunk. It would be also include the whole area covered by the branches of the tree, plus the area meloya or vasali chutzaloy beyond that. So now Tosfos points out, well, that's the point. In other words, you could have a chorav or a shikma whose branches extend far beyond 16 amos. Now at that point, then it means that you have a rather large amount of area, even larger than the area where the roots are going to be getting nourishment from. And even then, Rav Shimon is saying that yonkin is behech. So now that's the Gemara's question. Then, in other words, fine. If the tree didn't have very much branches, you're right. You would have the issue that it's extending 16 amos outward from the edges of the trunk, and that would already be from Sdei Hekdesh. But the question is, you can even have a case where the area covered by the branches of the tree is larger than that area the roots take nourishment from, and still Rav Shimon is saying they'd be taking nourishment from a field of Hekdesh. And why? Based on what Rav Huna is saying, he should own that entire area under the tree, plus Maloy Oda Vasala Chutzaloy, and there'd be no issue of getting nutrients from land of Hekdesh. That's one point. Tosfos says another point is also, you could say, when you're selling to somebody else, when you're selling the one or two trees to somebody else, then we say you're limited to that area where the person would stand with his basket. But here the other way around, where you're reserving, you could say maybe you're reserving for yourself more area, the entire area from which this roots are getting nutrients from the soil, and that would be that entire 16 amma, that would be that entire 32 amma wide circle. So therefore, so again, as I was saying, based on what Rav Huna is saying, if you're keeping land for yourself, and by that second answer in Tosfos, we're assuming that land is not just the actual area that the trunk is standing on, but the entire circle of 32 amas across, with the tree in the middle of it, then what is Rav Shimon saying? That in the case of Hekdesh, then you'd have a problem where it's getting nutrients from a field of Hekdesh. The answer is Rav Shimon Damar Kerav Akiva. And then Tosfos also goes and discusses in some detail, well, after all, maybe we could say, look, you know, maybe there's a difference between Hekdesh and, reserving trees for yourself. Maybe you'd say Makdesh Vayin Yofa Makdesh, and therefore he's being Makdesh more generally and not leaving himself that kind of land. But Tosfos says that no, look, Hekdesh has to be either like a sale or like a gift. You can't make it more than one or the other. So if you're going to say even by a sale, or by a gift, Rav Huna is telling us that you're still reserving a certain amount of land for yourself, then by Hekdesh you would say you would have to say the same thing. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss more angles on that. Anyway, the answer is Rav Shimon de Amar Kerav Akiva, because Rav Shimon holds like Rav Akiva that Mocha b'ayin yofa Mocha, and therefore that he's not leaving for himself. Rav Huna Kirabanan, whereas Rav Huna is talking about the Chachamim who go against Rav Akiva and say Mocha b'ayin ra Mocha, and therefore according to them, then Rav Huna is saying that he's leaving for himself the amount of land that would be necessary for the trees to get their nutrients. No, he said Rav Akiva and said Mocha b'ayin ra Mocha.
Right.
The Chachamim say Mocha b'ayin ra Mocha. Well, therefore now when he's selling Rav Huna is saying, when he's selling the rest of the land and keeping for himself the trees, according to the Chachamim, Mocha b'ayin ra Mocha, he's keeping for himself whatever is necessary for those trees to be independent of the other guy's land, and therefore to have the area from which they're going to get nutrients. And therefore, so yeah, Rav Huna would say, then according to that, the Chachamim would say the same thing. When you makdish the land, would be the same thing. Rav Shimon, who points out that by Hekdesh is different, well, Rav Shimon holds like Rav Akiva. That anyway, Mocha b'ayin yofa Mocha, and therefore Makdish also is b'ayin yofa Makdish. After all, Rabbi Akiva had said that when it comes to the path to the Bor of Drus or whatever, that you're selling all the land, you're not leaving for yourself even a path to your Bor of Drus. And that would also apply to trees. Yes, Rav Akiva would say, here we had a few lines ago at the top of the Amud, that the buyer could say, Akori Lancha Valech, take your trees and go. Rav Akiva would hold, yes, that would also apply where a person is selling a field and keeping the Chor of Amurka or Sadana Shikma for himself, that the buyer at any time would have the right to tell him, or at least once the tree dries up, and is gone, and then is dead, that he would have the right to tell him, I'm not going to allow you to replant another tree again. So then Rav Shimon would say the same thing as far as Hekdesh.
But at least when he's reserving it, at least have the right until it dries up.
Right. Well, that's according to Rashbam, according to Tosfos. Maybe not. Maybe even unless he reserved for himself land as well, then like Rav Huna had said, we wouldn't say that he's entitled to keep those trees around for any length of time. All it would mean is he's entitled until the guy tells him, I want you to take your trees away. That was according to Tosfos, we said before. The Rashbam also adds then that based on what the Gemara is saying now, it comes out, here we said before, at the beginning, we said that Rav Huna's statement would be even according to Rav Akiva. Now the Gemara is retracting from that. No, Rav Huna's statement would work only according to the Chacham. You're right, it wouldn't fit with Rav Akiva's opinion, because we see that Rav Shimon's opinion contradicts it, and Rav Shimon, we have to say, goes like Rav Akiva. The fact is that Ashbam says that no, that's not the end of the discussion over here. The Gemara is going to continue, which will continue tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and the Gemara is going to say that actually no, Rav Huna's din will work even according to Rav Akiva. So, and then the Rashbam goes and discusses in some detail why we have to say that Rav Shimon goes like Rav Akiva. Why don't we say that Rav Shimon holds that Makdish b'ayin yofa Makdish even more than a seller? So similar to what Tosfos had said, then he's not really, then it's not like a sale or like a gift, then there would be like a hybrid of them, and you can't really say that. You can't invent a new category of Ayin Yofa or Ayin Ra specifically for Hekdesh. So Rav Huna is going on to the Chachamim. The Gemara says Kerabon and Pshita. Well, of course, according to the Chachamim, if Merkab Ayin Ra Merkab and the seller even has the right, and then the buyer rather of the field would even have the right to tell him once your tree is dead, then go and take it away, and you can't plant a new one, then of course, all the more so when it comes to a burden dus, and the Chachamim are still saying that you're entitled to that you're entitled to a path to it, because Mocha Ba'ayin Ra'a Mocha, and therefore you reserved for yourself a path, all the more so a tree. So why would Rav Huna even have to say that didn't? And if he's talking Mela, if he's talking even according to Rabbi Akiva, we said there's a Chiddush in it. But if he's talking only according to the Chachamim, what's the Chiddush in Rav Huna's din in the first place? And the answer is Nafkamina, the enough the Hodur Shosalahu. The point is, Rav Huna is saying that according to the Chachamim, it doesn't just mean that the guy owns the land in terms of that he owns a right of way to it. It means also that he has the right to replant the trees if they fall down or whatever. Without Rav Huna telling us that, we would say, fine, you own land together with the two trees that you kept for yourself, but only insofar as you have a right of way to those trees as long as they continue to live. But eventually, think of a bor dus. If you sell a field to somebody and you keep the bor for yourself, if the bor eventually collapses, let's say the bor is not fixable. You're not going to say you still have a right of way to the bor. What bor? It's not fixable anymore. Well, without Rav Huna's din, we would have said the same thing would be with trees. But now we're saying that no, Rav Huna's point is that when it comes to trees, you will have the rights to replant them, and the other guy can't tell you akor lon chava mace, akor lon chava leich, akor lon chava shkel vazil, take your tree and get out of here, because no, we're saying that he owns the land even to the extent that he could replant the tree. And that's Rav Huna's point, that according to the Chachamim, he would have the right to do that. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, where the Gemara is going to analyze. Well, we'll say, you're telling me that Rav Shimon, as far as Hekdesh, holds like Rav Akiva, as far as sales, but is that in fact so? And we'll continue working out these details of when we say Moshe Ba'ayin Yofa, Moshe and Makdish and whatever, Ayin Ra, Ayin Yofa, and all those details. Beis Hashem. Thank you.